Mishnah Yomis for Sunday, the 25th day of Shvat, Tovshin Pei Dalad. Masechta Ksubos Perek Tashi'i, Mishnah Dalad. There is a takana of the Chachamim that if a person suspects his partner, or a sharecropper, someone who works his field for a percentage, and he's not sure now whether there's been embezzlement, or maybe they haven't been careful to check the accounts, he can make them swear. Now, why? Why does he make them swear? Because they tend to be moirin la'atzmam hatta. They tend to give themselves a free rein over the assets, saying, oh, well, we're so busy working for the boss, so he wouldn't mind if we take this, or we should be able to take this. And therefore the Chachamim established a shavua, which is for a tainus suffix, even though it's a doubtful. And this is to ensure that these people that have a role of responsibility will take care and do their things faithfully. What about a woman, a wife, who the husband has put in charge of his business? What happens there? Says the Mishnah, Hamoshev, Mishnah Dalet, Hamoshev is Ishtoch and Vonis, a person who makes his wife, the shopkeeper, delegates the job that she sells and she handles all the cash in the shop. Oishemino apotropa, or he made her in charge of not just the shop, but of all his assets to take care of them, to buy and sell. Harizem ashbia kozman shirza, the husband's allowed to make her give a shvor at any time he wants, that she's doing things faithfully and she hasn't embezzled anything. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, afilu al pilcha v'al asasa, the husband is even allowed to make his wife swear any time he wants that she hasn't taken from the wool or embezzled the wool that she's spinning for him, or that she's working with, or the dough that she's baking. Even that he can make her swear. Now the Gemara explains that according to the Tanna Kamma, he can't do that to his wife if he hasn't given her a job of being in charge of the shop or administrator of his affairs. He can't make her swear about domestic things like the spinning of the wool and like the dough, because such a thing would not do for a good relationship in the house. It would break the shalom bayis. However, if he made her already a shopkeeper and he's already appointed her as an apotropa, as a guardian over his properties, then even the Chacham would agree that when he's already making her give a shvua for the business dealings that she's doing on the shop or the thing, then he can do what's called a gilgul. He can roll in the shvua about the dough and about the domestic duties as well. Rabbi Eliezer holds, however, that even if he didn't make her this extra administrative job, at any time he can make her swear about the spinning of the wool and the issa, the dough. However, the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer. The halacha is like the Tanna Kamma, that this would cause angst and not do well for shalom bayis. Mishnah Hay. Kosav lo, what happens if the husband writes to the wife? Same thing would apply if he said it to her. Neder u'shavua ein li aleich. I hereby exempt you from having to give any neder, any vow, or any shavua that you've been honest, etc., in the affairs of the business. Einu yochel lahashpia. Then the husband can't make her swear any shavua, not in connection with the business dealings of his assets. Whether, for example, if she was a shopkeeper, she was in charge of the shop, or he appointed her as administrator of his assets, and nor in the matter of uksuba, which we learn later on in this parak. Avol mashbia hu es yersheha, but he does not really release her heirs from having to give a shvua. Which means that, let's say, he divorced her and she died, and her children are coming and asking for the ksuba. He can make them swear what's called a shvuas hayorshim. A shvuas hayorshim, the shvua of the heirs, which is a shvua, an oath, that our mother never told us at the time of death and never commanded us at the time of death, or beforehand or any time before death, that the shtar ksuba was paid up. Nor did we find anywhere among her receipts that the shtar, that the ksuba has been paid. That A husband can still do. He can still have the right to make them give an oath. And similarly, those who come after her in the ksuba, which means, let's say she sold her ksuba to other people, and a third party, which means you sell it for less than the face value of the ksuba, so that in the event that he dies or divorces her, the buyers of the ksuba will get the proceeds of the ksuba. Now, let's say she sold it. And now those people, the people who bought the ksuba, that third party, comes to collect the money. They come to collect it. So once again, they would be obligated to give a shvuah, an oath, that the wife had never told them or never gave an order that it was paid. Why? Because he only freed her, the wife, from having to give a shvuah. Not the children, not the Yorshim, nor people who come as a result of it. However, what happens if he says, Neder ushvua ein leolaich, v'al yorshayich, v'al aboim birshusayich? If, however, he says, I hereby exempt not only you, but I exempt your children, any of your heirs, or anyone who comes, birshusach means anyone who buys your ksuba, I exempt them as well from having to give a shvua or make a vow that you didn't tell them it was paid, then loy he, v'loy yorshaha, v'loy esaboim b'shusa. Then any yochel ashpia, he's not able to make a swear, loy he, v'loy yorshaha, v'loy esaboim b'shusa. No one, not here, not the people that come, not her heirs, and not anyone who comes as a result of or after her in the rights to the ksuba. Why? Because he made a clear condition to exempt them as well from a shvua. Avo bat yorshav mashbinaisa, but the heirs of the husband, if the husband dies, his heirs can make them swear. If she became a widow, for example, and she's demanding the ksuba from the yorshim of her husband, they can make her swear. Ves yorsheha v'saboim b'shusa. And if she was divorced and then died, and afterwards the husband died, and her yorshim, or those who are coming after her, who were in line with the ksuba, that they bought the ksuba for her, are demanding the ksuba from the yorshim of the husband, well, the yorshim of the husband can make her give an oath like the ordinary shvus ha-yorshim. As I said before, that our mother never told us that anything was paid to the ksuba, etc. This is all in a case where the husband died after her. If, however, the husband died before the wife, and then she died, then it's a different story, because she became obligated to give a shvuah immediately upon the husband dying if she wants to collect the ksuba. She can't collect from the yorshim of the husband unless she gives a shvuah, an oath. If she dies, since she, at the time of her death, she was obligated to give a shvuah to the yorshim of the baal, and she didn't yet do that, the yorshim cannot collect the ksuba. They've lost the opportunity, even if they swear. And this is because of a halacha of Ein Adam Moirish Shavuah Labonov. A person cannot pass on the right to give a shvuah to your children. That means if a person was obligated to give a certain oath at the time of death, the children cannot now take over that oath and give that oath instead. And here too, the yorshim of the woman are not able to swear that shvuah that she was chayiv to give, and therefore they lose the chance. They can't collect the ksuba even if they would give a shvuah. Finally, says the Mishnah, what happens if he says, Neder ushvuah ainli v'lo liyarshai v'lo laboim b'shusai alayich v'al yoshayich v'al aboim b'shusayich? What happens if the husband says, I hereby free from any goth, I free up from the obligation to swear or to give a neder, not to me, not even to my yorshim, not to those who come after me, or b'shusi, whether it's on you, whether it's on your yorshim, whether it's on those who come under your authority, then ein yochel hashpia. Then indeed he cannot make a swear. Lehu v'le yorshav, neither he nor his heirs V'lo ha'boim b'shusa, nor anyone who comes in his place. Lo oisa, can't make her swear. V'lo yorshah, nor her heirs. V'lo ha'boim b'shusa, nor those who come under her authority. Why? Because his condition has to be kept. If you made a condition like that, it has to be kept. There's a machlokes between the Rishonim when the Mishnah says, Loi laboim b'shusi, when the husband says, nor to anyone who comes under my authority. What does that mean? Or with my permission, what does that mean? Some of us learn that it means if I sell my assets, then you want to come and get paid from the lekuchos, from those people who bought it, that means he can free them up as well. He can say that he can free up the wife and her heirs even from giving a shvur to those who bought the properties. And then they want to say now, oh, we weren't paid aksub, etc. He can even make them free from that. He can say that you don't have to give an oath to collect from the lekuchos. That's how Rashi learns and others. Rambam and others learn no. They say that there's no way that the husband can make a condition to even reach the lekuchos, to even reach the buyers. And if the buyers take something, have bought the property from him, then and she wants to collect from them, her ksuba, she must give a shvur. And he cannot free the woman from making a shvur as far as the buyers are concerned. So what does it mean when it says, Lo boim barshusi? So the Rambam and others, we learn that it means like an apotropos, like a person who's an administrator. If he appointed her administrator over his properties, or he gave his properties to other people as a matona shchimera, then the Chacham deemed them as yorshim, deemed them as if they were heirs, and then they don't have to give a shvua, but not lekuchos. So again, that's the machlokes Rashi and Rambam as to whether he can even free his wife and her yorshim from swearing to the lekuchos or not. Rashi says yes, that's what the Mishnah means, and Rambam says no, he can't do that. He hasn't got the right as far as people who bought properties, lekuchos. They're still protected, no matter what. Their wife has to give a shvua and the heirs too.